Welcome to God and Country Radio. Prophet discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in life scripture. A program about the doctrines of civil government. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Today's program is about being woke or being awakened. Or rather, being woke to cultural Marxism or being awakened to Christ. The secular humanists, the political left in our country, refer to being woke. That is, when one wakes up and sees and agrees with their cultural Marxist worldview. However, the Bible also speaks about being awakened when one sees and confesses the gospel and the truth of Christ, which is the counterposition to modern-day wokeism. So there are two awakenings. What the left is now calling their awakening, being woke, and what the Bible calls the awakening of the soul to God's salvation. And isn't it interesting that the Bible states that when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened, Genesis 3:7. And this was Satan's appeal to Eve, that if she eats of the forbidden fruit, her eyes would be opened and she would be able to know good and evil. So there is an opening of one's eyes toward evil, but this is not simply a description of being able to discern what is evil, but the mind being open to agree with the evil. Such as when Cain realized that he should kill Abel, or when Adonijah exalted himself and said, "I think I'll be the king," or when Caiaphas the high priest came to the conclusion that Jesus needs to be put to death for the entire nation, or when Judas realized he could betray Jesus to the Sanhedrin for money. There are many examples in the Bible of people coming to their own realization that wrong is right and right is wrong. James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust, meaning sinful desires of any kind. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Sin in the heart has a conception, a birth. And yes, it is actually an awakening. It is a conversion or a turning. It's actually an emotional religious experience, but it's toward the other side. It's a love and a commitment to the darkness. It's John chapter 3, verse 19. Men love darkness rather than light. Or 2 Peter 2:15. They love the wages of unrighteousness. Or Romans chapter 2, verse 8. They do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. And I've spoken to many people who have claimed to be awakened to sin, and I'm sure you have also, such as the young person who says, "My eyes are opened, and I finally realize I don't have to follow my biological gender. I can become the opposite sex." Or the woman who says, "I've come to realize that I didn't have to be inconvenienced by carrying this baby. I can abort it." And what an affirming and comforting revelation that was. Or the wife or the husband who is awakened and realize that they can just walk out of the marriage. And I believe what's happening in our world today is that many unsaved people are waking up and realizing that they don't have to submit to this Christian morality. It's like they've been in a fog for years and then they finally wake up and say, "Why have we been following all of these traditional morals and social laws concerning marriage and gender and the protection of life and economic accountability and self-control? Besides, my university professor has convinced me that all of these social taboos are simply made-up human constructs, made up for the sole purpose of the powerful in this world oppressing the weak." And that's the narrative of the left. So now many unsaved people are being woke and realizing they can be morally free, that they can do their own thing, that they should be following their authentic self, creating their own reality, for man is now God. Or at the very least, the God who is agrees with your desires. And this is what is meant by I am now woke. But the Bible speaks about another kind of awakening, an awakening to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness. Romans 13:11, knowing the time, it's already the hour for you to awake from your sleep. Ephesians 5:14, awake sleeper and arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Or 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of this world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And we remember the blind man in John chapter 9, who said, once I was blind, but now I see. I was recently talking to a woman who joined our church, and she said that when she was in college, she finally came to the end of herself, cried out to God for salvation, and it was like she had been asleep all of her life and finally woke up. And I think of Keith Green's great song, Your Love Broke Through. Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my hopes would come tumbling down, and I never knew just why. Until the day when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. Well, I've been blind all of these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise. But then you took me by surprise. Like waking up from the longest dream, how real it seemed, until your love broke through. I'd been lost in a fantasy that blinded me until your love broke through. And I love that song. And if you want to think in terms of a classic hymn, there's the testimony of Charles Wesley in his song, And Can It Be? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye, God's eye, diffused or sent a quickening, life-giving ray. I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's also one of my favorite songs. And then, of course, we all know the song Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The Christian in salvation is awakened. One is regenerated. One goes from being dead in one's trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ. But again, there is this alternative awakening where one is awakened to the ideology of Satan, where one comes to discover the arguments of Satan one agrees with. And in a moment, I will explain the theological, ideological distinctions between being awakened to God versus being awakened to Satan. But recognize we will all come to a crossroad in life where your religious conversion will either be for God or for the devil. You'll either go toward the darkness, a darkness that professes to be the light, or you'll go toward the true light. John chapter 12, Jesus said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you. For he who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of the light. Now, I've addressed the subject of wokeism, CRT, cultural Marxism, many times in this program. But the occasion for addressing it again is that Jim Banks, congressman from Indiana, has started an anti-woke caucus in Congress. Just like there's a Freedom Caucus in Congress that includes the most stalwart conservatives like Jim Jordan, Scott Perry, Mark Meadows, and there are about 45 Republican congressmen in the Freedom Caucus, Jim Banks now plans to create another specific group of congressmen who identify as anti-woke. And of course, this will be a conservative caucus that is intent on identifying and opposing woke policy. Wokeness is a religion because it's a transcendent ideology based upon faith. And at the very least, remember the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. So why start this caucus? As Jim Banks explains in his op-ed, quote, "To help myself and other Republicans better understand the long tentacles of the wokeness regime, the laws, the regulations, and the funding sources which support it, and to explore legislative responses, and that we will find strength in numbers, an anti-woke caucus with members on the Appropriations, Energy and Commerce, and Judiciary Committees will work together to offer amendments that defund and expose wokeness at the NIH, the Justice Department, and every other federal agency. No bill that spends taxpayer dollars on leftist activities should pass out of committee without a recorded vote on an amendment to defund wokeness. House Republicans must tackle this great domestic threat to America today." Now, what I find telling is that Congressman Jim Banks is a Christian. He graduated from Grace College and Seminary in Indiana. And we've really come to a place in this country that those who will stand up for traditional American values are only those with a strong Christian faith and worldview. Now, as far as the agnostics and the nominal Christians, they have all been taken in by the lie that government should be all about giving people moral freedom, that the state is to make no moral judgments based on any theistic values. Even many Republicans think this way, that human freedom is the basis for morals and human freedom is the highest ethic. So in the end, it's only going to be the Christians who are going to be standing up for what are called historic American values. Everyone else who is not born of God is eventually going to follow the Antichrist spirit. What I also found interesting is that Jim Banks has identified this ideological problem, or this ideological error destroying America, that this is the religion of the political left. And even the left itself has given itself the title of being woke. It has taken a while, but finally some civic leaders are beginning to understand this woke oppressive philosophy and calling it out for the error that it is. But even today, if you ask members in your church, what is wokeism or what does being woke mean? You probably only find 10% of even church-going Christians who can really define the ideology. Now, they may understand the core error once the jargon is explained, but most people are generally unaware of the doctrinal points of wokeism. You know, to really know about wokeism, you have to be an avid reader of the news, spending at least 15 minutes a day reading some Christian conservative websites. Well, if you're not up to speed on this, that's what this program is all about. 2 Corinthians 2:11, "So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes." And wokeism is just another doctrine of demons. Now, in his editorial, Congressman Jim Banks defines woke in a couple of sentences. And it does need to be constantly defined because most people don't get it until I hear it about 10 times. Quote from Banks, "The most toxic part of this tyranny is its doctrine, wokeness." Notice here Banks properly identifies it as a doctrine, a system of beliefs behind the current immorality and Marxist policies being pushed by the left. So the most toxic part of this tyranny is its doctrine, wokeness. Everyone has by now heard this word, but it means something very specific. It means that all the so-called oppressor groups must be punished for their past and present alleged sins. There are many steps to punishing them: inducing self-hate through indoctrination, stripping away their rights by not enforcing the law on their behalf, public humiliation, hatred, expropriation, and ultimately violence. And what does wokeness mean for the so-called oppressed? It means privilege, status, exemption from certain laws and norms, and public recognition that their views are unimpeachable. They cannot be contradicted by reason. They cannot be doubted, but must be believed. Now, Banks, in his definition, could have been more clear. The core ideology of wokeism is that one comes to realize that he is being oppressed. Now, at first, one might think this is just about racial oppression, but that was dealt with back in the 1960s. This new oppression narrative is that people are being oppressed by cultural values, specifically traditional economic and moral values. The transgenders and the homosexuals are being oppressed by a Christian view of morality, so Christian values must be overthrown, and transgenderism has to be taught in schools rather than the biblical concept of a man and a woman. Children must be taught that gender is a made-up social construct and that children can choose their own gender. The economic angle to wokeism is that we're all oppressed by the free market. And this accountability and responsibility to produce goods and services that people might want is oppression. So we should be free to follow our own path without this economic pressure oppressing us. Therefore, the government should redistribute wealth and give us grants and provide for us easy government jobs and contracts. And that's what's really behind our government borrowing almost 40 cents on every dollar they spend to fund a leisure class of bureaucrats. Economic accountability is now considered oppression, and we should be able to make up our own reality financially. And there is a law enforcement angle to wokeism. No jail, no bail, because it's unfair for criminals to be punished for their crimes because they're being oppressed. They're being oppressed by this social construct that their crimes are such a big deal. Now, the actual racism aspect of wokeism, that America is founded on racism, that all of our laws and our institutions are inherently racist, is actually a very small part of wokeism. The racism aspect is only used as a wedge to further the anti-Christian cultural narrative. Even the founders of BLM all admitted that they are LGBTQ and they support Marxism. Now, the average person can get lost in all of the weeds of woke ideology, but all of the tentacles come out of one basic idea, that I am being oppressed by transcendent ethical moral values attributed to God. And so not only should those values be overcome, those values are actually now considered evil. And so this is the ideological lie that is causing the American people to be living out Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute light for darkness and darkness for light, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I've said this a million times, and I'll say it again. This is the original lie of the devil. The only tool he has in his toolbox being revived in preparation for the coming apocalypse. Satan's original argument in his rebellion in heaven and his original argument to even the garden was that God is an oppressor, that God is keeping you down with all of his rules, and God has no right to be your authority. For all of the sophisticated philosophy and political verbiage, wokeism, CRT, comes down to the same old lie of Satan, that God's an oppressor. Go ahead and eat the forbidden fruit. And really, this is how we should explain wokeism to our family, our neighbors, our coworkers. It's claiming that God's morality and God's values, his very person, is oppressive. And, you know, not only should we work to help the church understand the error of wokeism, there's one more thing even those who understand the error have not come to realize. And that is how widespread and entrenched this doctrine really is. The whole world is becoming woke. There's actually a worldwide revival of secular humanism, a revival in agreement with Satan. I was just reading again Ibram Kendi's woke book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, and he explains his woke philosophy as, quote, pointing us toward liberating new ways of thinking, Well, it's liberating, all right. The prophecy of Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. At the end of the age, people are going to declare rebellion against God. Banks points out the prevalence of wokeism in his op-ed. Quote, this utterly un-American doctrine would be comical were it not for the fact it's so powerful. And it is powerful because it is enforced not only by every major national institution, it is promoted and funded by the federal government itself. The Biden administration imposes these beliefs in schools, in the military, in government agencies, in the private sector. It not only wants us to hate each other, it's funding this hatred and fanning the flames. What do you think will be left of our nation once more and more people accept wokeness and act on its principles? Then Congressman Banks points out that Biden has signed an executive order requiring every government agency to present an equity report for their agency. Basically, hire a DEI officer, diversity, equity, and inclusion officer, and make no mistake about it, the philosophy of DEI is to create a moral equivalency, an equality between morality and immorality, to make all things equal, even to teach that having moral objections to immorality is wrong. And these government departments are not hiring Christian chaplains to guide the morals of government employees. They're not teaching the principles Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Instead, they're promoting doctrines of demons. Why? Because this is what happens when God and the Bible are removed from the public square. Out of this claim that governments and schools and public institutions must be secular, eventually what fills the vacuum is radical secular humanism. So Banks writes, first House Republicans should pass legislation to rescind Executive Order 13985. Biden's equity executive order that directs every single federal agency to produce an equity action plan. Chuck Schumer would certainly strike it down, but it's important for Republicans to make a unified statement in opposition to the left's abandonment of equality under law. Well, good for Congressman Banks and trying to stand up for what's right. What's happening in wokeism is Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But then they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. The path away from God is ingratitude. The path back to God is gratitude. The other day I noticed in scripture this idea of being prepared. Psalm 78:8, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Or Matthew chapter 10, about the prophet John preparing the way for the Lord. A woke generation that thinks in terms of woke ideology is impervious to the gospel message. And that's why so many people today are not coming to Christ. They haven't had their hearts first prepared to see the world and themselves biblically, but instead they're being held in bondage to Satan's narrative, wokeism. It takes the power of God to break that narrative. Well, that's all I have time for. I'll have to leave the rest for my extended video version of this program on YouTube and Rumble. The channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website for all the links to both the audio and the video is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, awake us to righteousness. Pull back the curtains of darkness, that we may see the truth of Christ in all of its fullness, in whose name we pray. Amen.